Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And services.
You found Atomic Android Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the 100th episode of the In Universe Podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Adam.
And today we hit 100.
We
baby.
Did it. Technically, with our
yeah,
commentaries.
The numbers are a bit off. Don't look at the numbers.
It's over 100. Don't care. Who cares? This is our 100th actual episode of this.
Yeah, we did it. And a little cream on top of the crop. Two-year anniversary.
Yeah,
we've been doing this for 2 years. Hit a hundo, baby.
We hit a hundo. We've been doing it for 2 years, which seems like so long.
Anyways, for this special anniversary episode, we're both each horribly,
horribly sick. I think I'm starting to become on the mend. Most of the worst parts of it are, I think, fucking knock on wood, over for me at the moment. But I'm not tip top, and my good friend Andrew here has just started his journey.
I'm just starting. I'm not that bad as of right now, although out of nowhere, right when we started hitting this record button to start this, I'm like, I think I am going to vomit. So that might happen at some point in this episode. I just got sick last night. I hope, because I'm not that bad.
These are unconnected. Yeah. This is a coincidence that we are both sick at the same time. One of us did not cause the other one to get sick.
Yeah, it could have easily been that, because we were planning get together to record some anniversary content. Then it happened because Adam got sick.
Yeah, then I'm sick. I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, then we're like, all right, we'll wait till the actual day of our anniversary to record. Give him some time. Then the night before, I got fucked up bad.
Yeah, I've tested. I'm not positive for COVID. It's as far as I can tell, it's not COVID. It's just a bad flu.
Yeah, it's just a terrible, terrible flu. But I hope I'm stronger than Adam, and I'm already also
Look,
on.
To be fair, my girlfriend, who is where I got this sickness, as she believes she got it from a conference she was at, she's already basically fine. Mm-hmm. And she got it and must have given it to me roughly pretty similar time frames. So she's made of sturdier stuff than I am, man. She the worst of it, she was like, had a bit of a fever and a cough, because she was here when she was kind of going through the worst of it. The worst of it for me was like night and day. I was way worse than she ever was. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, hopefully I'm just built different.
I hope so. Other friend of the show, Marco Gomez, has also had this sickness. And he had it worse than either of us. He was taken to the emergency room because he passed out, as far as I recall from him telling me. So,
thoughts and prayers go out to Marco Gomez. It's pretty obvious he's the weakest of us, though. His tibias say it all.
cool inside joke that only
have we mentioned that on the podcast?
No, we haven't.
That's like Marco's biggest like quality. We've had to have talked about his weak tibias.
This is great for an anniversary. This is really only for those who have been here the whole time, I guess. Marco, our friend, as he had a condition. I do believe he said it was some form of osteoporosis. I could be wrong.
It is.
He's not here to explain himself, and I'm not a doctor. But yeah, I think he said it was some form of osteoporosis. And while he was at boot camp for the army, he was marching with some very heavy packs. And his legs apparently, and this may not be 100%, he can correct me later. As far as I recall from the story, his legs were just hurting like insanely bad. And so he went and was like, oh, I think I need to stop. They took him to the doctor there. And we're like, oh, you've broken both your tibias. Both of them. I'm basically just like nearly shattered. You need to get off your feet right now. How are you currently standing? And then he was in a wheelchair for a very long time and bedridden for a very long time. And then he wasn't in the army anymore.
Our country lost a great soldier that day.
I do believe that very much, yes. That's a cool little lore.
But yeah, this is
on our good friend Marco.
This is not the Marco episode.
Crazy if our anniversary episode, our 100th episode, was the Marco episode.
Well, yeah, dude, he was a part of our great history, out of our country, of our podcast.
Our actual topic today is basically our anniversary, and we thought a fun thing for that, because our first two episodes were Superman and then Batman, so we're gonna do them together like they often are. It's the world's finest, like this podcast.
Shut the fuck up. I don't have the patience for that kind of bullshit today. Calm it down.
I'm trying to be jovial.
Yeah, well, I'll wait for you to finish.
I'm good.
Well, this episode's gonna be a fucking mess.
Oh yeah.
So
I'll wait for you to be finished. This is fun. A little tit for tat.
Editing this is gonna be
a nightmare, man. So yeah, we're going to do a little bit of talking about Superman, Batman, them, you know, coming together, meeting each other. It's happened
them in boys. Various
adaptations several times.
Yeah, we'll talk
from the comics about it too.
Yeah, we'll talk about them together
separately, but we'll also,
while they're dating.
Oh, I do believe there's at least one universe where that's true.
They love to see it happen. You get the Tumblr community on that shit, they'll be
Well, it's that's why it's so strange that they aged up John and not Damian, because then they could have kind of done something like that.
Yeah,
in canon,
they but do. I guess they could with Tim.
Yeah, I guess they could, but Tim and John have never interacted, as far as I'm. I'm sure they have.
Yeah, they definitely have. But
I'm sure they have by now. But
they don't have that dynamic.
They don't really.
But I would prefer that. It seems like this episode is going to be just random thoughts, kind of connected to the two characters. But I would prefer that
first episode
over Damian and John or Tim and Connor, because I think that there's, when you introduce a character and you reveal they're gay or whatever, a lot of people want to just be like, oh, that means this friendship is a romantic one, not a platonic one. And I think that's dumb.
Yeah.
Gay people could have guy friends that they're not involved.
A real hot take. We're hitting through the real tough questions now. Can gay people have friends?
Yeah, gay people. Look, if there's one thing about our podcast you walk away with, understand, we support gay people having friends.
Well, dude, one, I would prefer that he doesn't end up with Damian, because I think Damian's a bad person overall. And probably a bad partner. But also, as far as I'm aware, and I don't read these comics, so that might have changed by now, he's got a boyfriend who seems lovely. So,
yeah, I know nothing about him.
I think he's got pink hair. Other than that, I don't know nothing.
Wait, no, is that his boyfriend?
I think so.
Doesn't Tim's boyfriend have pink hair?
I don't know. I don't think so. That I would probably remember because Tim's my favorite Robin.
Well, then what color hair does Tim's boyfriend have?
As far as I don't know if he has a boyfriend at the moment.
No, he does. That's when they revealed he was at least dating, like going on dates with a guy. Because that's when they revealed he was bi. I think he might be blonde. It's either pink hair or blonde for sure. One of those choices.
I would also very much not like Tim to date John. Because even though they've aged him up, it would still feel really weird.
Yeah, no, that's a no-win situation for John there. Because for one, if it is with Damien, he's 17. Damien's like 14 or whatever. And then if it is with Tim, he's still like kind of like a 14-year-old. And that's kind of
it's weird. Yeah, it's not great.
I have with I wonder any how many... It's a big situation. I don't think people should be dating with someone when they're in a big situation.
I just
don't think that's okay. And it's look, you could cancel me for that thought.
I don't think they're gonna
burn me at the stakes, but I don't think bigs are okay. Same thing with the 17 again. Very not good.
I like that movie, but no dating in that movie is good.
Like him dating his own 17-year-old daughter.
I very much dislike that. That's a fucking crazy thing that nearly happens in that movie.
Look, I think dating a 17 again is better than dating a big
Tom Hanks big,
because
yeah.
A 17 again. He's only physically 17, and 17 is close
you're
enough
near
to
no
yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't know about close enough. I don't know
well,
about the
well I mean phys- I mean physically I mean okay,
this is a
okay.
Great anniversary episode. I mean, going fucking gangbusters.
I just mean physically. It's not like you're dating like a 12-year-old person which I know, like there are some situations, like there is that one girl who has a genetic disease that she doesn't age physically, but mentally like she's like 30 or whatever, and just because she doesn't age physically and she has this like disease doesn't mean she doesn't deserve to be with somebody,
right? But I'm sure it must be tricky to find out
but
the type of guys who are in
you gotta This would be the only situation that I would be okay with catfishing, because you gotta make sure they fall in love with you for your personality first, and not for your physicality.
Well, yeah, and then even if they do fall in love with the catfish versions of you, there's then becomes this real dilemma of when they meet the real you.
That's the problem with catfishing in general. When like, because there's like catfishing to like hook up with someone, and then there's catfishing with like mentally unstable people who maybe mentally unstable is a bit harsh, but people who are so insecure to the fact that they'll lie to someone for years about what they look
right.
like. And then like when you meet that person, you're like, okay, I've had a connection with this person for years, for so long, but they also did lie to me. Catfishing is a messy subject. Let's not get into it.
Yeah, well, I feel like this one's even messier, because even if they are still into you, that has its own dilemma in it. Because is that still good?
Yeah.
Because are they? It's bad. I feel bad for that lady. I'm sure it must be very hard.
Look, I'm sure it's not impossible, especially if you like if you're on your dating websites or whatever. I don't know if I would post like a bunch of pictures of yourself.
Oh, I definitely probably shouldn't.
You could describe your situation. And then like maybe communicate with someone and be like, this is the situation I'm in and whatnot. Instead
you
of
go to a guy who takes pictures of like children and then he uses digital like technology to kind of guess at what they'll look like when they're older.
No, because that's still kind of lying catfish.
Well, yeah, like, but I think you're gonna have to do a little of that.
Like, I'm just saying I wouldn't post any pictures of yourself and just describe the situation you're in.
But even so then,
people could get on board with that by getting to know them and learning if they're a good person before you introduce them to yourself physically or whatever.
Right, but even but just by reading it, pedophiles can read.
Yeah, but that's why you got to get to know the person first.
All right, hard left turn because this is getting to a strange conversation. I found out who John's boyfriend is. He does have pink hair. His name is Jay Nakamura.
Oh yeah, I knew that. I could have told you that.
Well, you didn't.
I just remembered that. I remembered.
Apparently he's an activist. That's pretty cool.
Activist for what?
I have no clue. It just says he began a relationship with his male friend Jay Nakamura, a superhero. Wait, he's also a superhero? And an online activist. That's all it says.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. What is Tim's boyfriend? Does he also have pink and or blonde hair?
I don't know.
It'd be strange if they both have pink hair.
Crazy that the only way these writers understood that the people are gonna care that he's like bi is if that he dates like a guy. It feels like it's a little bit bi erasure to be like, well, he's still dating a lady. He's not actually bi.
Yeah.
He's blonde. His name's Bernard. Yeah.
I get it with Tim because Tim was kind of a bi discovery or whatever, where he started to like a dude and then he's like, oh, I think that might be like something there. Is John bi or is John just gay?
I read bi on the Wikipedia article that came up. So
okay. All right, that makes some sense. I don't know, I stopped reading comics.
I have as well, which is crazy because now we're going to talk about Superman and Batman.
Yeah, 20 minutes into the episode.
You see, if I wasn't addled at the moment, I probably could remember this, but I don't recall the first time they met in the real comic books.
Is it that one, isn't it the one where it's like the cover where like Superman standing off to the side, Superman and Batman are standing off to the side, and then Robin comes like punching his way through that like little screen.
Maybe, but isn't that paper? Also just the first introduction of the Boy Wonder is when he bursts through that?
Yeah, I think it's like a riff off that, or Superman just also there. But I could
no. No, it's not. It's weird. Apparently they met in 1939, the Vigilantes. They meet for the first time at the Metropolis World Fair.
What?
Well, they overcome their initial suspicion of each other, team up, and defeat the Ultra Humanite. The Ultra Humanite's the first person the two beat up together. I love the Ultra Humanite.
That sucks for him, dude.
He's having a bad day.
Yeah, it would be a bad day for him if either one of those guys showed up.
Well, I don't know. I feel like, especially 1939, he could probably take Batman being like a gorilla and all.
I don't know. I could easily see in 1939 Batman just wrestling a regular gorilla.
Or shootings him, yeah, because at that time I think Batman had a Glock or something.
Yeah, so look, bad time for... Look, a lot of stuff was happening to gorillas at the time in comics that we might regret nowadays. We might regret our depiction of what we've done to gorilla. Oh, that's starting to sound bad.
I think I found the issue that you were thinking of, the cover that you were thinking of. It's not the only one I've seen of it, but it's kind of a yellow background. It's got Superman and Batman, and Robin is just also there. He's not bursting out. That is the introduction 100 thing. And there is just a why won't it let me? No, there it is. He's just kind of standing there.
Oh, yeah.
There is a circle for some reason. I think that's the World's Fair, but
He's just, it sucks we don't do the World's Fair anymore.
Yeah, well, they're not great, I guess. They had a real racist undertone for a long time.
Well, yeah, look, that's fair, but I want to see the technology of the future.
That would be cool. Yeah.
I want to see the technology of the future. I want when the World's Fair to come out, Disneyland gets improved like tenfold each time, because that happened heaps where Disneyland was just like, yeah, we went to the World's Fair, we figured out how to make cool ass rides.
Yeah, Walt Disney was like, oh, House of the Future, you say? Give me one of them.
House of the Future, you say?
Crazy,
you
mean didn't live in one of them.
Splash Mountain?
Like, he had the whole House of the Future at Disneyland, but he was never like, yeah, I'll live in a House of the Future. He lived in a regular house, a rich man's house, but like a regular one.
Yeah, look, some men want to give to the world what they don't want for themselves.
Yeah, some men hate the Jews.
Yeah,
and a lot of other races.
Some men do hate the Jews and a lot of all other races.
Most of those men, pretty bad, especially Walt Disney. He was pretty awful. There's a story about him coming in, and there was a Southeast Asian guy there. And he was like, this guy's too dark for me. They were like, sir, he's not black. He specifically said no black people. He was like, I don't care. He's still too dark for me. Get him out.
Man, that's a cool move.
Walt Disney was a fucking freak.
But he brought you the Dumbo ride, so.
Yeah.
I guess karmatically balanced himself out.
I don't think that's true necessarily.
Well, maybe he will when they defrost his head or whatever.
But yeah, so that was the first time they met, and apparently it was quite a big gorilla. But they've met several times. I think we've talked about it before, but my favorite time they've met is the animated World's Finest.
That's pretty good.
Tim Burton. Oh, Bruce Timverse.
Oh, dude, I wish Tim Burton had a Superman. Yeah, imagine a sequel to Batman Returns.
If he got his Nick Cage Superman off the ground that he was gonna do.
Yeah. Oh God, I would pay so much money to see that. I think I would pay over $200 to see a screening of World's Finest with Tim Burton.
Now, is it made now?
No, it would be of the time.
Okay. But yeah, the Bruce Tim World's Finest, that's probably my favorite time they've first interaction of the two characters kind of gets adapted. I think it's the one that works the best as each on like a character front. Nobody there is changed to suit the narrative of them interacting.
Yeah.
Which I think is a common mistake that kind of happens.
They turn Batman into a real asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the times, which like I
understand
it's really trying like show like, oh, he's the dark one,
right? He's the mean one.
Like there's what is it? I think it's in Hush. There's a line I hate so fucking much. Where it's Batman and I think it's after Superman got mind controlled or whatever. And then he's like, oh, deep down Clark is a good person and deep down I'm not.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, shut the fuck up. That's just not true.
That is not true. Honestly, it's the reverse. Like on the surface, you're a bad person.
Exactly.
But deep down you are.
Yeah. And then like maybe there might be something interesting there. Or you could be like, oh, deep down Superman's an asshole.
But he's not. Superman's just through.
Yeah. Oh well, I mean, I wouldn't believe that for a second.
But he is. Like objectively from the span where we're sitting as the reader and like arbiter of all of this, he is like objectively.
He snapped that one guy's neck.
Yeah, and that one dog shit movie. Speaking of those dog shit movies, that movie is one of the worst offenders of all.
I don't know about about that. I think that might have got the best depiction of Superman.
So, Batman and Superman is kind of the opposite of what I'm talking about, where they kind of go out of their way. Batman's hit the worst with it, but
Superman he usually is.
You're right, but yeah, Superman is also, they're both just made like weird and kind of petty and just childish, and like how unwilling they are to talk to each other at any point, really. And what's crazy is that like Zack Snyder and the writers of that movie, they give lip service to the idea that either of them just want to talk this out, mostly Superman, who's like, hey, I'm just gonna come talk to you. And then Batman does some stuff that at that point is like the equivalent of doing nothing to Superman. Like, Superman is barely even like inconvenienced by the shit Batman does at that point, but he's like, all right, you know what, fuck it, I'm done talking to this guy, even though he's done basically nothing. And then he just is like, all right, fuck it, and pushes him over, and then the fight's on. It's like, why?
That fight does roll, though.
No, yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world.
It's the best part of the movie. No, the warehouse scene with Batman is the best part of the movie.
Well, yeah, because that's almost just a screen grab from an Arkham game.
Yeah, and that's the best Batman. But that fight scene is
so good. Dope. It's a fun scene. But like,
especially that bit when he's punching him in the face and the kryptonite starts.
I meant the one a little bit earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he meets him in that alley and he's like, I just want to talk, Bruce. And then he like shoots him with the big guns.
Yeah, he hits him with like the sound.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, now I'm done talking. And he puts like a hand on his chest and just like knocks him away.
Yeah.
Like, why?
One, yeah, you could have grabbed them, held them up like a little baby.
Yeah,
child.
And then just been like, listen to me, you fucking freak.
You fucking gimp
in a fucking monster suit. Just listen. But they're both being absolutely moron. Like, Batman is like, no, I'm going to use something I know won't work just to piss him off, I guess. And because like he knows it won't work. Otherwise, why would he have gone and gotten the kryptonite and everything?
Well, no, I think it's because it did affect him a good bit. It like brought him to his knees for a second.
Well, no, it's just like it literally was like somebody pushing him a little bit. Like, all it did was like he had to hunker down for a second.
But yeah, I get that. You try you always have a backup plan, but I guess your first plan should be the kryptonite. But you don't want a weaker backup plan than your primary plan.
But why was his first plan not just the guy is saying he wants to talk, hear him out, maybe?
Maybe talk till you could get in close and stab him in the gut.
Nothing else, yeah. Have a little bit of kryptonite in your mouth, and then reach in for a kiss and put it in his mouth.
Yeah, no, it's that kind of shit happens all the time.
And then Superman does it too, where he's, I guess, is impatient. So that's his flaw in that movie.
Yeah.
Where he could have just withstanded it and then been like, all right, now can we talk?
At that point, I understand Batman's mad. He crashed his car into Superman or whatever. I'd be pretty pissed. I love how that car blinks off. Do I love this movie?
We did when we came out of it.
I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking I might love it.
Look, it boinks
like
off
when
him.
He drifts around the corner, and Superman just standing there, and it bounces off Superman. I think that might be one of my favorite shots in cinema.
I guess he's mad because Superman wrecked his car. He like tore the roof off. I was like, hey, we need to talk. But then,
how did that conversation go? Did he say we need to talk? And Batman went, I'm gonna kick your ass. And he's like, all right. And he left.
Basically, yeah, he tore the roof off from memory, and he was like, we need to talk. And then he was like, tell me, do you bleed? Yeah. Was like, all right, this guy's an asshole. And he just blew off, I guess.
We need to rewatch this movie because I'm thinking that this might be a good movie. Like that bit where he's in the Batwing or whatever after a crash when he's fighting Doomsday, and Doomsday's about to annihilate him, and you see the look of like acceptance on his face where he's like, oh, I'm about to die.
But what I like about the Bruce Timm World's Finest is that they don't make either character go through this weird arc of being like, yeah, I'm an asshole, I'm mm-hmm. not, or anything like that. There's still plenty of time for them to have a bit of a punch on and then become friends. There's mm-hmm. still plenty of time for them to like distrust each other.
I love how they handled the beginning.
It's so good. Yeah.
I love how much of a middle finger each one of them gives each other. My Superman just be scan his little fucking face with X-ray vision. He's like, Bruce Wayne. And then Batman's like, fuck you. You don't think I could do that shit too? I mean, it'll take me like a couple hours.
Yeah, it took him like multiple hours later because he put a tracer on him and then was just sitting, like following him around all day. And you know how fast Superman can move too. So he'd be in like one part of the city, go to the other part because he's Superman, and Batman's like, oh shit, and has to go down, get in his car, drive to the other part.
Well, you would just wait till he's in one place for
a while.
For yeah. a while. And then
but he was up on that building, yeah, with his binoculars.
Yeah, but that, he was in, like, Superman was already getting ready for bed. He had his little jammies on. He brushed his teeth and everything. Like, okay, he's getting ready for the night. He probably just sat and watched some Wheel of Fortune or whatever. So Batman's like, okay, this is where he's at. I know it's not the case, but whenever I picture that scene and he looks out the window to see Batman, I always remember Batman flipping him off.
No, he does. He gives a little wave.
Yeah, no, he does. But like in my memory, it's Batman, fuck you, asshole.
No, he's like got his binoculars and he's just like, oh, hi, how you doing?
Yeah, and what I really like about that one is how good it is, because that's the start of the Superman-Batman relationship.
Right.
Because we then get time to like explore it later, which I think is also one of the best, like,
I'm glad that the punch on before they start to become friends is so short.
Mm-hmm.
It's so brief. It's not like the point of the thing. They interact. He flips Superman like judo style.
Yeah. Literally only did it because he caught him by surprise.
Yeah, because Superman's like,
why would anybody try to flip me?
So he judo flips Superman. And then immediately after that, Superman's like, all right, never mind. No more plan around.
Yeah, and that would have been so good if halfway through the flip, Superman just held him in the air.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. But no, what I was saying is, I think that in the animated universe with that, afterwards, after we get all that time with them, because it goes on to Justice League or whatever, it's one of the best depictions of the Batman-Superman relationship, because when Batman and Superman are done best together, it's when they're actually friends.
When they're best friends.
Yeah, yeah. When like they're like, when they look at each other and like, Batman might not be Clark Kent's best friend, but he's definitely Superman's Olsen, yeah. best friend. Well, yeah.
Well, that's pal.
Well, it's just Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, not Superman's best friend, Jimmy Olsen. And vice versa or whatever. But yeah, I hate to see like that sort of, whenever like they spent all this time together, I hate to see that thing you were talking about where the characters sort of get degraded. I hate when that happens way after their first interaction.
Yeah.
Like when
Hush, where it's this weird turnabout.
When they have this animosity towards each other because they're like, oh, I don't like how you do things and I don't like how you do things. Mm-hmm. It just drives me fucking nuts with that sort of bullshit.
I completely agree. It's lame. Two of the movies that I think do it pretty well are the Superman Batman movies.
Oh, yeah,
those are great movies. I think they're real fun. They're real different from each other too.
Yeah, like,
they have the same thing, but they're not really connected nearly at all.
Yeah, they seem like they should be connected, but they very aren't. Much aren't.
Yeah, not even like no plot carryover, except that they are both still Superman and Batman in the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
Different animation styles and like
which
is weird. Not a bad thing necessarily. Yeah. Just weird.
I really like the Public Enemies animation style. Not crazy about what's the other one
Apocalypse?
Called? Apocalypse.
See, I like Apocalypse more. It's less kind of cartoony.
I really like the cartooniness. I really, it gives such know. Like everybody's a magical got that everybody's nostalgic feel. I love how Captain Marvel looks in it.
I hate how every man has the Rob Liefeld muscle.
No, it's so good. I love that. I hate how sharp and angular everybody is in Apocalypse. No.
The fight scene in Apocalypse between Darkseid and Superman, better than anything in Public Enemies, man.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying, I'm talking about art style alone.
Well, yeah,
like, but even animation itself is separate from their art design.
And well, whatnot. No, because you have the art design, and part of that is how easy it is for the animation to kind of latch onto it. All those overly detailed abs are difficult for high motion action scenes.
Yeah, but I think they still get it really well. Like, I might actually disagree with you, and I think that I prefer the Public Enemies, the fight in the field with all the villains over the Superman.
Oh, it's so Dark static. Side. Everybody just kind of stands and maybe blasts. I'm not super into it.
Yeah, I love it.
Very Danny Phantom, the whole background turns one color and it's just a kind of a screenshot of him throwing a punch kind of shit.
Yeah, look, I haven't seen it in a while. I'm just going off memory, so maybe I'm wrong. But I remember really liking it. And, like, I love both movies a good deal.
Oh, they're both great, yeah. I like the story of Public Enemies much more.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was just talking about the art design and whatnot for the most part. Especially, I really don't like Batman's design in it. Like, his face is, like, so, like, sharp and everything. It's just off-putting to me, I guess. And then I dislike that bit at the end too, where Batman like threatens to blow up all of Apocalypse, which, like, I get, what else are you gonna have Batman do against Darkseid or whatever? Like, how are you gonna keep him useful? Which I think is one of the weaknesses of the story of Apocalypse, is they went so big and bombastic, how do you keep Batman relevant in that sort of deal? I forgot what I was saying.
I don't know. Yeah, I kind of like, and it's part of the narrative, it's one of the themes, that the main difference between them is Batman is willing to do stuff Superman isn't. Like, it's not making him a bad person, he's just willing to go a little bit further over the line.
Well, yeah, but Batman further over the line should not be blowing up a whole planet for specifically even Batman, who his line is, I won't kill a person, which I guess he breaks that rule for aliens or whatever. So,
Fine. Sometimes he does that anyway, but also, yeah,
he'll just fry a parademon or whatever. But there's a lot of people that, like, there's a lot of just slaves on,
yeah. But one, that, he's not saying to blow the thing up, it's just to do the seeds. Which Apocalypse already has. That's where their pits are from. And then also, I do believe, and maybe I'm misremembering, he is bluffing. Darkseid has no ability to know whether he's bluffing or not.
Yeah.
The idea is just that Batman is...
I don't know if they confirm it at any time. I always headcanon Batman wouldn't do that. If he did do that, that just... be bad character writing on Batman's part. So I always accepted that he's bluffing. But I don't know if it's ever like, if it was like, oh, I was lying about that.
I recall there's at least a line of Superman being like, oh, you were bluffing.
Yeah, I haven't seen the other movie in a while.
I
like both movies heaps. I just think
Public Enemies story more. Especially because while I don't dislike Batman being there, it is pretty heavily a Superman story. Like, it's all about Kara and going to Apocalypse, which are all Superman based characters. And then they have, like, I like Big Barda, she's really cool in it and stuff, but I don't know. It's just so clearly like a Superman centric storyline.
Yeah.
Batman's also there.
Yeah, which I think if you're going for a Batman Superman movie, you really need to find
find that middle ground. Yeah.
And that's why I was saying, I think when you have that sort of thing, you shouldn't go as big and bombastic as, like, oh, we're fighting a dark side or fucking...
I think the best person for that is an Amazo. You can keep up with Superman, but then it's Batman's human ingenuity and cleverness. Yeah. that puts you over the day.
Yeah, and like Amazo power level fluctuates so much. Like Batman beat him in Under the Red Hood,
which is crazy.
Yeah, well, I guess it's just maybe he's not always indestructible unless he has someone's indestructible.
Well, he clearly had Superman's powers going. Super strong, heat vision.
Yeah.
White.
Maybe indestructibility is just not a power you can build into a robot.
Look, it normally is for Amazo. So.
I'm trying to think how, but I guess how would you do any of them?
Yeah, how are you going to do any of them? Also, the same way they retconned us Superman does it, a force field.
Yeah. Amazo would be pretty good. I've never found Amazo to be all that good as a main villain for something. He's usually good for a one fight type deal.
Mm.
Like, unless you have someone who's using Amazo.
Amazo is a robot. He's the main brain of the operation.
Yeah,
if you're using Batman's brain as like the counter, you'd want either Ivo or Luther or whatever to be the actual just
someone
bat.
Behind there. Yeah, but yeah, that'd be pretty good. You could do a lot of good stuff. I think when Batman and Lex Luthor go up against each other, I think there's a lot of interesting interactions there and stuff when it happens, like especially in stuff like the Justice League cartoon and stuff. I loved whenever they were on screen together.
Mm-hmm.
That time when Batman does kill a parademon and he like backflips onto him, and he like kind of goats Lex Luthor into being like the hero, like going for the hero move.
And then Lex Luthor becomes a god.
Yeah.
Whoa, really got him, Batman.
Batman got it fucked up a bit there, but I like when they go up against each other, and then you could have like sort of, even if Lex Luthor is the only villain with it, which with Superman beating him all the time, shouldn't be a problem all of a sudden.
Yeah, but that's the thing about Lex. His danger is variable because he's so smart, and because he is one of the few villains who is like, oh, this plan didn't work. Well, let's actually be clever and make a plan that might work. The idea that Superman is now having a problem isn't so crazy to me.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But I think he could take them alone. Although that does kind of, like you said, with the Doomsday or Darkseid being the villain, it's like, oh, this is a Superman.
Right.
That's why I did like in World's Finest when it was Lex Luthor and the Joker.
Joker. Yeah, it is still mostly Lex. Yeah. Joker is essentially a bishop in the chess game.
Yeah, and that's fine. As long as you just have someone there. It doesn't have to be the Joker, because...
Well, that's why I think Amazo, because he's neither really either of them's enemy. He's a Justice League enemy. And so he can still fight either of them without it being too much of a problem.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I think Lex Luthor is a good villain to go up against the both of them, because he has aspects that each of them are really good against going up against. Superman punching a big robot.
Batman buys his company.
Cat and mouse.
Batman selling a bunch of stock so that Luthor Corp goes down in the stock market.
I do really like that too, when in moments when it becomes, instead of Batman versus Lex Luthor,
it's Bruce Wayne versus Lex Luthor,
and they just have a pissing contest. Who's got the most money?
I would love a thing where like Lex Luthor's plan involves, say, like it's the Kingsman thing where it's like in phones or whatever, and Batman's how he beats him is Batman just puts out the same kind of phone but free without the thing, and so nobody buys the Luthor phone.
Yeah, he just puts out a better phone for like a good deal cheaper.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, okay, well, yeah, let's do that instead.
Everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's neat, that's fun.
Alexa's can't do shit against that.
Yeah.
You can't punch the economy.
Mm-hmm. I think one story that actually explores the three of their relationship really well, and it's actually pretty surprising how well it does, is the Injustice Universe, not the video games. The first, I haven't read the second season of comics or whatever. Yeah. Based off of the second game. But the first one has a lot of really good Batman, Superman stuff for one, before they're kind of falling out and everything, before it's just evil Superman and whatnot. Like, I think what we were saying about the them being good friends, as opposed to a really bad moment like in Hush, there's like a really good moment in that when Superman goes to tell Batman that Lois is having a baby, and then they kind of have like a shared moment of happiness between them where like Batman like figures it out beforehand. And
let Batman be happy sometimes.
Yeah, that's a problem I have with heaps of Batman. That's not Batman and Superman.
That's just Batman. Let Batman be happy sometimes.
Highlights it, yeah. Let Batman be happy for other people, if not for himself. Batman could choose to give himself the shittiest life possible because of his fucking endless mission or whatever, but like that doesn't mean he has to be an asshole to his friends.
Yeah Let him go to Dick Grayson's marriage and be genuinely happy.
Yeah, I love that shit in comics. I love good Batman. Yeah, I absolutely hate the edgelord, the coldest guy
I can beat anybody with enough
pressure. Oh yeah, that's a different deal, but that's another problem I have with some people's depictions of Batman is I'm a god.
Don't let Batman fall into his own hype. Batman should be scrappy and fucking he wins, but he's struggling for every fucking inch he gets.
Yeah, that brings
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Brings me to another one of my favorite Batman Superman, Dark Knight Returns.
Oh yeah,
I love
very fucking, scrappy in that.
I love him fighting for his absolute life.
At no point really is like, yeah, I'm ever gonna win this fight. Yeah, it's like all a bit really.
Yeah, like throughout that whole fight, he's lucky if he even like becomes a blip on Superman's radar.
Yeah,
and just it's great. It's so good. A little bit. Yeah, I love all of that. I think they have some really good moments together in that.
I will say that does have a little bit of that thing I was talking about where they make Superman kind of a Reaganomics government stooge.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's hit with it much less, but still, the idea that Superman can't tell that Ronald Reagan is like a bad dude is kind of weird.
I think it's because when it was written, it wasn't seen that Ronald Reagan was a bad
dude. No, he was at the time too.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying
that's why
the person...
Frank Miller did it.
Yeah,
he doesn't like Ronald Reagan. That's why he made him. He was like, "All right, well, I'm gonna be in a bunker while I nuke the shit out of."
When Superman gets nuked in that, fucking great. I love when he fucking looks like a fucking skeleton ghoul.
And then he grabs some flowers and sucks the sun out of them.
Yeah, I never understood that.
Well, plants suck up sunlight.
Yeah, stuff.
So he sucked the sunlight out of the plant
but
juice.
Does he have vampiric leech? Shouldn't he be able to do, like, people absorb sunlight.
Well, like, maybe it was an ability. Well, we absorb the vitamin D from what our body gets from the sunlight, which is similar to what our plants do, relatively. So I don't really.
I assume that's also sort of what Superman's doing, just like at a different level.
Well,
I don't
for think a different thing, even.
Yeah, I don't think he's just like legitimately absorbing, like.
Well, no, that is sort of what it is. His body absorbs radiation, which light is radiation, and it does different things to him. That's why kryptonite and its various colors do different things.
Yeah.
And why he's so affected by radiation.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's like specifically the solar radiation of it. Like, I don't think Superman can stand in a room with light on and then decide to just suck up all the light in the room and have like a pitch black room.
Honestly, with the quote unquote physics of how his powers work, that should be an ability he has, because it's basically the opposite of his solar flare ability, or heat vision for that matter. It's dumb, so he shouldn't do it. But like science, again, heavy air quotes as written, it should be relatively something within his abilities.
Then, if he can do that, he could vampiric leech people and just suck like the light out of them, like he did with the.
Well, players. Yeah, but like we're not nearly as built on. Like we might get
taller,
our bones a little weaker.
But like, there's like always a thing where it's like, oh, we've cut off your fucking, you're running on borrowed time, Superman. We cut off your solar radiation, or we cut off like you from the sunlight. And like, if he's fighting like 20 guys or whatever, he could just go suck off the sun from them and be fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much we have of it.
Yeah, I don't know how
you. If even just working in an office job can give you vitamin D deficiency, I just don't think we get that.
Well, I think that means we. Wouldn't that mean we got a lot because it's enough to affect us when we're missing it?
Well, no, but because they're not missing it. That's not their whole day. They still go outside.
Yeah, no, that's true. We probably have a pretty shallow battery pool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Look, to be honest, flowers, even though they use it a lot more, much smaller. So the science doesn't work.
Yeah, look, I think it's probably, if I were to just take a guesstimate, I think it'd probably be a dozen flowers to every person.
One bouquet of flowers.
Yeah, one bouquet of flowers has the same sunlight as every person.
This is cool sunlight, man.
But those are specifically sunflowers that follow the sun all day, absorb all the sunlight.
I guess so.
But him and Superman in those movies, I like the scene they have beforehand, and I think the animosity to that is played pretty well, because it's not like, oh, I hate you.
Yeah, they clearly
whatever.
Don't like hate each other's guts.
Yeah.
They're just ideologically opposed at that point.
Yeah, which is what Batman and Superman Dawn of Justice should have been.
Well, that's what it wanted to be, clearly.
Well,
it's so based off that scene.
Well, yeah, no, that like the fight scene alone is just like basically fucking, hey, can I copy your homework? Just change a couple words.
And yeah, go. Yeah.
But like, it's not really. It's Batman being scared of a guy, and he really doesn't like the fact that he's scared of a guy. So like, he's like, if I'm gonna kill this guy, so I'm not looking over my shoulder or whatever.
Yeah, it's. Batman, but like For the same thing that he said, Batman should kill every president in the Snyderverse.
Batman should give you... I don't understand why Batman... He had that fucking email or whatever. Why is he not going after the Flash or fucking Aquaman or whatever? If he's like, oh, any of these people... Well, Aquaman could probably cause like a tsunami and kill...
A lot of people.
I was going to say 100 people.
That's a lot for a normal man, but when you're talking on these super person scales, not that many people.
Yeah, like the tsunamis.
I guess it's specifically Superman because he saw Superman and Zod's fight, and that's what kind of scared him.
Yeah.
But like, that's roughly on par with a nuke. And every American president has access to hundreds of those.
Yeah.
Why don't you go all Firestorm and get rid of nukes, Batman?
Yeah. Dude, I mean, more superheroes should.
Yeah. Firestorm had it right.
Superman got rid of it. Wait, wasn't that a message of one of the things that Superman went around, got rid of all the nukes, and then we were fucked over because of it?
Well, I think that was, yeah. I think some writer was like, yeah, he got rid of all the nukes and then aliens came or some stupid shit.
Yeah, what was that from?
And we couldn't use... I want to say it was the beginning plot of Invasion with the yellow guys with the big red dots on their head. When the conglomeration... Oh,
was it? Did they do that in Young Justice?
No, I don't... Maybe?
For the Reach? I think they did that...
No, because the Reach came in and became friends before we even had the idea of nuking them.
Because that was I know it was. They did it in something animated. I'm pretty sure that
was
Superman...
it. The White Mark? No. It's those goo guys in the desert in the Timber in the Justice League animated.
Oh yeah, it's right. That's why we need the Justice League because we don't
have
because
we don't
anymore.
Have nukes to kill those goo
guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with that. We need nukes, so we don't need the Justice League. Look, I would have been glad to have a nuke when the Justice League shoots out a massive laser beam at
fire
me.
Back.
I'd be like, I would be like, take it down.
Yeah, except they would win that fight. All they would have to do is go and flick the nuke away.
Well, yeah, but they might be busy. They were pretty busy at the time.
Yeah, but you had no way of knowing that.
Well, yeah, but... Everybody shoot at the same time. Let's see if you can get all of them
and destroy ourselves too. And Fallout's got nowhere to go but down.
We'll be fine. Superman will save us. Firestorm's around at that point.
He's not. He's never in the JLA.
No, I think he is. I think he's just a background character.
No, he's specifically not. That's Wave Rider you're thinking of.
Yeah, no.
He was going to be the main character.
Yeah, they replaced him
with Booster Gold. Yeah. Captain Atom's up there, though.
Yeah, Captain Atom's up there.
He's shown he can maybe hold one nuke.
And he doesn't like Superman, so...
So maybe he doesn't stop the nukes.
Yeah, I mean,
the opposite of the point I was just making.
No, I'm saying after let the blow up happen.
Also, he does like Superman. He just likes the America more.
Yeah,
they were
if the Justice League attacked us and we attack them, he would be on our side.
Yeah, except that he was there when that happened. The specific thing that happened, he'd already fought Superman and was in the hospital when that happened.
I don't think we would have took that into account.
I think we would have nuked
the watchtower and then be like, all right, send Captain Atom up to take care of all the
fallout. He was there. fuck,
I love that scene though when fucking Superman kicks his ass and then they still like take him to get help and he's like, he's one of ours.
Yeah, when Cadmus comes to collect him and he's like, don't touch him, he's one of ours. It rules. It's so great.
Fuck, I love that scene.
It's a Tim Daly and George Newman, they're the two guys who, they have such a similar voice for Superman. I didn't tell them. They switched for a very long time. But that Superman is by far one of my favorite Superman ever.
I am so hopeful for the future of these two characters right now. It kind of sucks that I feel like both of these characters are on the right path, but not together, because we know we're already getting a great Batman with the Batman.
Yeah.
I have no idea how Brave and the Bold is going to turn out. I suspect even if it's good, I can't 100% love it depending on how Damien heavy it's going to be. And it seems incredibly
oh, it's probably going to be, it's, yeah.
But some interpretations of Damien are better than others. And who knows, maybe this one, I'm like, no, okay, yeah,
some,
this works.
Some of them are better than others. So far, none of them have I liked.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not impossible to get.
Even amongst writers but, I love, like Grant Morrison.
But, when talking about Damien, he kind of highlighted that he liked a bunch of the shit I didn't like about Damien. So I don't have the best hope for that. But I do have a good deal of hope for the Superman coming out.
Superman Legacy sounds good.
It sounds good. I'm all I need is a hopeful Superman. Take Superman from the animated universe and just use that as a template. That's how your Superman is. Throw it on the big screen. I'll be so fucking happy. And you give me a Superman as bright as he is and a Batman as dark as fucking Patterson's is without him being,
yeah, he's clearly still not a murderer. He's still clearly
he's a good guy. Fuck that scene in the Batman where he shows that he's as much
a symbol of hope.
As Superman
it's
is
so good, oh, dude.
Fuck, I love that.
It's like that movie I already loved by that point. Like in the theater, I was watching it honestly from minute one. I was pretty into it.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But by the time it hits there, I was like, oh, cool. So this guy understands Batman. To a degree that I don't think any other filmmaker has.
I just don't think any movie has maybe not immediately because it took the movie, but
that's the point.
Yeah, even. Yeah. No, I'm just not saying immediately is not the right word, but has so efficiently nailed the spirit of Batman.
Right, so clearly gotten it.
Yeah, and it's, oh fuck, I love that movie.
Yeah, I think I might have to watch that movie again.
If Superman Legacy is any near as good for Superman as the Batman was for Batman, fuck, I'm gonna be a happy little
I'll be pretty happy. Apparently, they're going young too, not necessarily origin, but younger, which is basically what they did for the Batman, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, look, I don't need young Superman, but Superman isn't a person where you could pick anywhere in Superman.
No, yeah, I would just prefer not to have another weird situation with age. I mean, it looks like they're going that way anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely the case, because Batman's on his fourth Robin. Unless they just ignore that, which I would absolutely hate. That would highlight my biggest problem with Damien is how
he kind of shits all over the family aspect. The idea that he's adopted these kids and they're his real sons.
And there's no reason to distinguish them. Yeah,
they are his sons.
But I hate that. Yeah, no, I am
his real boy.
And if you just full on erase the other Robins, which they have before, animated skipped over Jason to go into Tim and everything. But you at least need Dick Grayson in there. You at least need a Robin before Damien to make that idea matter in the slightest bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which I doubt. Well, they're gonna do Tim at all. I doubt we'll ever get a Tim in live action for maybe ever.
Yeah.
Which is a real shame. He's
my favorite.
He's great. I think he's the best as Robin of the Robins. Dick Grayson, I could easily see. I'm really hoping in the Batman we get a Dick Grayson.
Mm-hmm. Specifically. That was more what I kind of was hopeful for before they announced Brave and the Bold. Now that they're specifically doing a Batman and Robin there, that I have to imagine that's because Reeve said he's not doing it in his.
Yeah, I could see either that or they're like, oh, we got to make it different than the Batman. We got to put Robin in it. That might make Reeves decide not to do Robin, which I'd be pretty disappointed with, because I was really hoping for a Robin and knowing my only Robin on the table is Damian Wayne. It doesn't matter which Robin you could pick. Even if you gave Matt Reeves only Damian Wayne, I guarantee it would be way better.
Oh, well, yeah.
But like, don't let that deter you. Go ahead and do Dick Grayson. It's a different Robin. How great would it be if we get the Batman movies for 20 years and each one, like not each one, but every so often we get a new Robin and then we get fucking like, we start with young fucking new Batman and then we end up with fucking grizzled veteran Batman and he's got fucking Tim Drake with him. How fucking cool would that be?
That'd be cool, but I just don't think anybody attached on wants any of that.
I don't think so.
Like Pattinson specifically was like, that's why he didn't like go out for the MCU because of those huge contracts of like 14 picture deals. Reeves was like also. Well,
yeah, look, if you don't keep everybody on contract and you just keep them coming back because these movies are good, you're not going to get any of those problems. If they're coming back because they want to come back, that's going to make the movies better, like with each time they come back.
Yeah. Yeah. They just might not, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And like, if they decide they're done, then they're done. I don't need fucking them to keep going for the sake of going. But like, if they're still fucking loving it and still making bangers down the line and like they get the opportunity, it'd be great to see a fucking Batman universe, a Batman anything that actually fucking ages and you get to see that life and career of the Batman with each of the Robins.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm not gonna hold my breath, but that would
I never said I thought it was gonna happen. I just said it would be great.
It would be nice.
If that happened, that might be the only piece of media I ever need. The like fucking eight the Batman films or whatever, and the Penguin TV show.
Hell yeah.
I forgot what I was saying before.
There's a creator I like, Alex Hunter. You know, he goes by High Top Films. He's doing a Jason Todd fan film. It looks quite good.
I heard about that.
There's been a lot of like test footage and stuff he's put out for it. It looks really good. So
yeah.
Hey, maybe if I'm hankering for some Robin content that isn't Damian, I'll look at that.
Yeah, Jason Todd's maybe my favorite Robin. I don't know, it switches from the first three on
Damian.
Whoever I'm watching at the moment, my idea is as Robin, I think Tim Drake is my favorite Robin, but my favorite character who has been Robin, that switches a good bit. I just think personally, I think everybody gets cooler after they're Robin. Except for, I know the people disagree. I know you disagree.
I disagree. But clearly the writers don't. They agree with you because they keep trying to revert him back.
I don't think he should. I just personally think I like him more as Robin, more than Red Robin. Mm-hmm. And that mostly stems from I thought his costume was pretty dumb shit with the earless cows. But like that's just a taste thing. But I think it's worse than try and keep shoving him back in a spot that's already full, or just having no absolute idea what to do with him other than that, being like, oh, he's the Drake now.
He's Robin again.
Yeah, he's fucking Rare Robin or
don't worry about it. Now Damian is moved on and now he's something else. He's named after the motorcycle, I think. So Tim's Robin again.
Yeah. Which, hey, look, that's a thing people should be mad at. I know a lot of people got mad at Robin for being gay or whatever, but I'm mad that he kind of got demoted into being a Robin again because they needed the spot.
He's a grown-ass man.
You know what I would love right now? You know what I could really use? Hey, what if we got a new Robin? What if Damian's going off doing other shit? Don't put Tim back in there. Let's get a new Robin everybody falls in love with so we could I'll fucking overshadow Damian. He did with the other Rabbits. That'd be great. That'd be nice for us.
Yeah. We could get Carrie Kelly as like a real mainstream continuity Robin, maybe.
Make a whole ass new character.
Make a newbie.
You could do whatever you want with them, and people will still complain, but
people complain regardless. But
it'll be more acceptable than like changing a past character to try to fit with what you're doing. If you just make a whole new character,
no, you know what, people say that, but either way, they're gonna get regardless.
Yeah, it's what I prefer more.
Insane. I agree, but if we're pitching this as like, oh, you'll get less hate. No, they won't.
Yeah, no, that's I started with that. I said what I agreed with, and then realized that's not what I meant.
No,
they
will get hate regardless because.
Because I started saying that, then I thought about John Kent.
Yeah, exactly. They made a newie. They hate him still. It's weird. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Batman, he's cool. Let him be cool again. Let him not be dumb. He doesn't need alternate dimension. Batman's coming in.
What are you talking about?
Batmetal?
Oh, Batman. I thought you were still talking about Brave and the Bold, and I was like, excuse me?
Oh, dude. Ah, dude. That fucking Batmetal.
I mean, they're gonna.
No,
they're gonna do No Way Home, but Batman. Now that they're bringing back Keaton, they're gonna do Affleck, Keaton.
I've heard that's what the Flash movie's gonna be, basically.
Dude, you know how actually happy I would be if they of course you Bale would in? Like I'm not a fan of Christian Bale's Batman, and I know he would absolutely hate it, but if they just handed him a big enough check to make him do it, that would destroy me. Like, and there's one shot where I'm pretty sure it's Affleck's, but like the way it's shot looks heaps like Christian Bale's when he's like on the motorcycle.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is Affleck as far as I'm aware. But
it's very reminiscent of the Bale Batman.
And hey, trailers have been edited before.
Yeah, but it would absolutely annihilate me if I was watching that movie.
George Clooney?
Dude, George Clooney showing up would be so good. See, I would love it for a very different reason. I love No Way Home because like I was watching it and like I'm like, I love all of these guys. But watching someone just painfully try to do that same thing and just reaching at straws for the options they have. For that kind of shit, it would be awesome. Watching someone fucking like trying to tape up a sinking ship and be like, oh no, but we got George Clooney.
That would annihilate so me. Hollow. But at least they did it first. They'll copy something that's already very hollow.
that's Batman Superman.
Yeah. We had talked about this, maybe we were gonna do a 2-hour episode. We're not. We're both tired.
Yeah, I have no energy, and I've been feeling like I was gonna vomit, probably about halfway through. I honestly have no recollection of anything we've said during this podcast. My brain is so filled with fog right now. I've sort of been just running off moment to moment. Thoughts.
I don't know how listenable any of this is.
Because
this is our anniversary, our 100th episode. Do we want to run through some highlights, do a little bit of a highlight reel episode?
Well, no, we're not doing a highlight reel. I for one am not going back and being like, oh yeah, let's take that clip.
Oh, I'm not either. Fuck, maybe if I was no, I wouldn't, but maybe if I was feeling okay, I would. No, I'm not doing that.
At most, I think the most I'm willing to do for that sort of thing is maybe going through and just grabbing the end cards, because it's so easy to be like, yeah, okay, just grab those, as a, compared to like, oh, this was a good moment in an episode. But it's been 2 years. Thanks for coming on this journey with us, guys. What were some of your favorite episodes in this podcast? Sounds like this is our last episode,
hopefully it's not, but it might be. No, probably not.
We got Last of Us to talk about next week.
Let's see, some of my favorite bits. I think a very, very fun episode, one of my personal favorites, is the Jackson Bailey episodes we did with from Sanspants Radio. He's a podcaster over there who we're fans of, and he was gracious enough to come into our podcast not once but twice.
Yeah, a little sneaky behind the scenes for that. So we've talked about doing a podcast for ages as every two pair of white males.
any two guys who have ever had a conversation longer than 10 minutes.
And it might be pretty obvious of the type of people we are, where we'll have ideas and we'll say we're going to do something, but we have no motivation to do that thing until a long time later. One day Adam was just reached out to Jackson Bailey and asked him, hey, do you want to be on our podcast?
Yeah, so
and we decided we needed to make a podcast.
It was on Twitter, and he just I genuinely, because he's a funny guy, I thought he was just joking, but he was like, hey, if you want me on your podcast, ask me. And I was like, okay. So and I was like, hey, I know you're probably joking, so this is gonna be really embarrassing if you are, but do you want to like come on my podcast? He's like, nope, not a joke, let's do it. I was like, oh shit, I don't have a podcast. So we very quickly made one.
Yeah, we threw out some episodes. That's where Batman and Superman came. I think we also did Ben 10, which I'd love to revisit that one at some point. I love Ben 10.
I like Ben 10 too.
Yeah, so we had him on. Those were some of the funnest.
Very fun. I will say, I think my favorite of the two is the second time he was on, when we talked about the most, at the time, most recent Conjuring film, which is legitimately insane. And we just got to rattle off the plot to him as he incredulously was like, what?
Yeah, that was,
and that was real funny.
Yeah, those were a lot of funs. I really liked I was gonna down the other guests like my cousin Enrique by saying our most recent popular guest. When we had Tulark the Barbarian on,
yeah, Phil, he's very great.
Yeah, I wasn't very familiar with him beforehand. Like I've being a fan of D&D and everything, like I've stumbled on his videos and whatnot. But when Adam said we were getting him on, I started watching his stuff, and a genuinely like really cool creator.
Yeah.
And that episode was so fun.
Like he's immediately wants to like jump into
stuff.
He's great. He's funny. He's good at D&D, clearly. Yeah. He knows a lot about it.
We talked about Kingdom Hearts, Heaps.
He loves Kingdom Hearts, and I specifically was like, hey, I don't know anything about Kingdom Hearts. And he's like, it's cool, we won't talk about it. And then we did.
Well, yeah, because I knew Kingdom Hearts. And look, not many chance do I get to blabber on about Kingdom Hearts with someone in my life.
I practically refuse, so...
So that was a lot of fun.
If we're still sticking on guests, we had relatively early on, I think it's episode 6 or something like that, we had Jordan Breeding, who was at the time the head writer and like video guy for Crack.com's YouTube channel. He has since moved on. He's doing his own YouTube channel, which is doing pretty well as far as I can tell. Where he does very long reviews of everything in a series kind of thing, where we talked about Groundhog Days. That was very fun.
Oh, yeah,
he gave us a bunch of movie recommendations of honestly insane movies.
I was like, man, I remember that episode being so fun, but I have no idea what we talked about. It was Groundhog Days.
It was Groundhog Days, yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of friends of the show on. We talked about him today, Marco. I think we talked about Fallout with him.
Yeah, that was the first time, and then he watched the Dune movie with us.
Yeah, so the Dune movie. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Just had my cousin Enrique,
and he was very funny. Yeah, it was fun talking to him about Ant-Man.
Yeah, he's probably the one who's listened to our podcast the most.
I don't know. Phil listened to a bunch of them because he was looking for topics, and then he hit us with a bunch of lore from our show while he was on it. It was I was astounded. I was like, I don't know how to interact with a guest who knows anything about us, including our friends.
And then we had our good friend Weston, who made the theme
song. He makes the music for every episode you've heard, if you've heard this many. Except for the Scooptober ones sometimes.
And look, they've all been great. I'd love to get more guests on. They're some of my favorite episodes. Like we said, when we asked what your favorite episode is, and we started almost only going down the list of our guests episodes,
as we far hate as other, each other.
Yeah. We got a Mythbuster situation going on.
Oh, geez. It's crazy for one person to not think it's a Mythbuster situation and for the other
I'd love more guests on. We've talked about it forever, but I'd love to have your girlfriend Sadie on.
We planned on that.
She's very enthusiastic about some topics.
If we do ever do a Bluey episode without her, I think she threatened me, so
we could honestly do a Bluey episode. I never thought about doing a Bluey episode.
Never crossed my mind either. So it looks like I was safe. But
I've seen probably every episode more than once with my niece.
And I've seen episodes both with her and with you and your niece. So I've seen plenty of the show. As far as non-guest episodes, and we haven't talked about it much, we probably should for our anniversary. We've done two Scooptembers. They're not all my favorites, but it's fun to do them.
Yeah, there's some we've made some mistakes in and look, that's part of the fun of Scooptember. I think my favorite Scooptember episode was reading that fanfiction.
I legitimately
every once in a while just think about that fanfiction, and I'm like, man, what was that person going through when they
I have no clue. It's so strange. There's the first Scooptember, which almost nearly killed us. We were so sad.
Look, the episodes on this podcast, you won't understand how sad we were if you've just listened to the episodes on this podcast. Our playthrough of Scooby-Doo Night of 100 Frights.
It's on YouTube now. You can go see it. Yeah.
It was legitimately one of the worst experiences we ever had. And one I plan to recreate with Scooby-Doo Unmasked for the PlayStation 2 this year for Scooptember.
We might not survive if we actually recreate it like that. I remember that day after we recorded all of that, because we shotgunned that game over like the course of like 3 days. And you were taking me home, and we went and got Carl's Jr., and we were just sitting in the parking lot, not talking.
We drove home, and usually when I drive Adam home, we sit there and talk. We drove in stone silence, no music, no nothing.
No music, no chit-chat. We just couldn't. Saying another word to each other felt like too much.
And I think the first words we said to each other on that trip was after we were eating Carl's Jr. I was like, this makes me feel better. After I got some food in my system, because I felt like dog shit.
Oh no. Yeah. I felt awful. It's one of the low points in my life.
So yeah, keep an eye out for this Scooptember. Stick around with us till September. Hey, if you guys don't know, we had the idea for Scooptember before NerdSync did Scooptober.
WB even did Scooptober.
We picked September because October is the obvious one, and we're clever.
Thought it was funny. And we missed the opportunity because the very first one we did, we just then and missed the it was some like 30th anniversary of Scooby-Doo, which was in September.
so like maybe our best choices, but yeah, stick around for this year's.
We want to do some more movie commentaries.
Yeah, we want to do some more movie commentaries. Fuck it, maybe we'll do Batman Superman now that I'm thinking about it.
That sounds funny.
After we're done being sick and we could get together sometime. Yeah,
once we could be in the same room again.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we'll do... I think I'm going to say this now. If for this year, for Scoob Timber, you're expecting a Velma episode, I don't think it's coming.
I've actually watched all of Velma.
Why?
Because I figured we would do it for Scooptober and Scooptember, and I didn't want to rewatch it then, so I was like, I'll just watch it now and I'll remember. I don't remember anything about that show.
I don't think I can watch it. We watched the first, was it two only episodes, the first episode?
Yeah,
it feels like it was the first three episodes, but it might have just been the first one. I watched that and it was almost legitimately unbearable. So consider this the Velma episode.
We got some fun ideas planned for the next 100 episodes.
Yeah. I probably do a lot more of the homebrew stuff. That stuff was,
that was really fun. Yeah.
We did and it sort seems of like a
you guys
trilogy.
Are super into it too.
Yeah.
So.
You guys seem to like D&D. We got clearly that D&D movie coming out.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty fun. We got, I know specifically, and we've sort of had a problem with this for the last couple months of content to make.
A little bit of a content drought, as the stuff we would want to talk about is not finished, so we got to wait for that. And then there's not been a lot of short form stuff coming out in the meantime. That should be over relatively soon here.
Pretty packed with movies. I work at a movie theater, so it sucks. Each weekend we got a new movie coming out. Creed 3 just came out.
I'm gonna watch that this weekend. Yeah, I'm very excited.
I never saw the first Creed, so I probably gotta give those
you
at
should.
A certain
yeah,
time.
They're on HBO. They're fun. They're very good. In fact,
probably hard for me to commit to that sort of thing right now. Be tired. I will probably just fall asleep during it.
Fair enough.
I hear Creed 3 is really good for my friends, who also work at the theater. I think this week it's Scream, which I was planning on going watch early, but don't think I will because I'm pretty sick. And then it's like John Wick, which I haven't seen the other ones either. So,
I love those movies, so we should probably watch those.
I hear those are good. And then I forget what the other one is.
We got, like we just said.
Oh, Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons
and
Dragons,
out.
Last of Us is going to be
Last of Us
soon here.
Probably going to be next week's episode.
Yeah.
I just beat the game last night. Ooh. No, the other night before. Fuck, that game's hard to get through. If you've caught up with the show, you understand how hard it could be to watch. In an interactive way, it's kind of harder. That'll be for Last of Us.
Yeah,
episode.
Yeah. So we've enjoyed making these 100 episodes. We hope you've enjoyed listening.
That's crazy, bro.
It's too many. Yeah, I get it.
That's 100 weeks, bro.
Yeah. That's if you add in the commentaries, of course, it's even more. But it's like over 100 hours.
Yeah.
Since most of ours are at least 40 minutes long.
Jesus Christ. You can listen to us for more than 3 days straight if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And it seems like some of you might have done something similar
to
that. I have
seen people do something like that. Maybe not straight, but people don't
do
people,
that.
Nah, do it. It's rad. I love seeing the numbers get big.
That's not good for you personally.
No, it's probably not good for your health to hear that much of us.
Of us specifically. Anything else you're looking forward into the future? Any dream guests?
I don't know. I don't want to just throw out my dream guests. Because when we don't get them, I'm gonna be even sadder that it's for everybody to know.
I'd love
to
get Ben Shapiro on the podcast.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
I'd love to hear him at double speed talking to two regular Ben Shapiros at a super speed Ben Shapiro.
For my main get, I'll just throw out the one because it's actually three. The Anti-Donna boys. They're very funny. They're going to be in the D&T movie, which I didn't believe at first.
Yeah, I saw that. I sent it to you. And I'm like, I can't tell if this is a bit. And you said, that's a bit. And
I was then like, it has to be.
A bunch of official marketing came out. And
yeah, I saw Paramount do it. And then they just did a bunch of interviews about it. So I was like, oh, no, it's not a bit. Crazy. love those guys, so though. Funny. Would love to get them on. I've already maybe not too early to say anything, but I am in talks with other members of Sanspace Radio. Like we had Adam on to talk about D&D. That was very fun.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the Adam episode. I'm sorry, Adam, if you're not, you know, listening.
Definitely not listening. But
but yeah, that was a great really guest. Cool D&D episode. Yeah, that felt much more like informative of an episode too, which was pretty unique. That was pretty cool.
That was really cool.
Yeah, I know we sort of had the mixings of other Sandspans members, just the little hints. Maybe getting some of them would be cool.
They're a great podcast. Whole kind of
a legitimate
company.
Inspiration for us.
Oh yeah, they're all their shows are great. But listen to ours, because you're here.
Yeah, listen to ours instead of theirs. Stop listening to them.
But yeah, I think Anti-Donna would be fun to talk to. I'm a big fan of theirs. Maybe we can get Ruben. Ant-Man just did, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Maybe we could get one of the fucking ghost boys like Ant-Man did. Get
Ryan Bergara
or Shane Madej. Look, I'm fine with anybody, but I'm aiming a bit higher than you. You want little micro celebrities? Fuck that. We're getting Paul Rudd on this podcast.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, look, swing. If we're both swinging and missing, at least you shot for the stars.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us for this big three-digit episode. Fuck, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Three digits.
What if we got to stop doing this? What if we hit 500 one day?
Bro? That'll roll, man.
That's too much. What if, that would be in like fucking, what, four years? It would be two more years to get to 400. And then another year. No, four more years to get to 400. And then another 2 years. So like six more years. Fuck, that's too much. That's not happening. You're not getting up episode 500. But yeah, maybe you will.
100 years.
We keep talking about doing an RPG podcast. But like we said, we're horribly motivated people.
That's true.
So it might not ever happen,
but it might.
It keep your ears peeled. You know what? I'm sitting.
Watch today. This space.
In May 17th, the first episode of our RPG podcast.
Cool. You didn't say what year.
But yeah, I think that'll do it for us this week. This hectic, messy.
This 100 years of our podcast.
This absolute dumpster fire of an episode we had.
Be nice to us. We're sick.
Yeah, it's not our fault. It's God's fault.
It's God's fault. He made us sick.
He did this to us.
Anyway. Genuinely, thank you so much for listening. I see our analytics. I genuinely, it makes me happy that somebody is listening to this and getting something out of it. So thank you.
Thanks for sticking with us. Hopefully you stick around with us. Watch us blossom into the little virgin flower we become.
Sure. That's one way to put it. And I think that's a good note to end on as any. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
We didn't even mention our socials. Or
holy shit. I forgot.
No, I cut it off.
It's our 100th episode. If you don't know our socials by now.
Oh. There's no way you can leave that in. When anybody who stuck with us for any amount of episodes
will no longer, yeah.
After that.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.